Can I just say collectively as a species that we're done? I think we're done with the Sweet Caroline sing-along. You know, like there's this new Jim Beam commercial out that they do like two choruses in unison. It's the, I just fucking hate that fucking song now. I fucking hate it. It's just done to death. They do it every, is this the one they do it like in the seventh inning at Fenway Park? Like, I'm fucking no more. Sweet Caroline, bah, bah, bah. Fucking get a life. I wish I could get my head out of the sand, 'cause I think we'd make a good team, and you would keep my fingernails clean. But that's just a stupid dream that I won't realize, 'cause I can't even look in your eyes without shaking, and I ain't faking. I'll bring home the turkey if you bring home the bacon. I'm a lot like you, so please. Anyway, I felt the need to then change course with any kind of verse and plug in this beauty from Weezer on their second album, Pinkerton. From, what song is that? It's called, El Scorcho, which was huge back in like 96. That was like the second most popular song voted by all Australians of 1996, I believe. And, well-deserved. That's a great album, Pinkerton. Their very first album, Weezer, self-titled Weezer, with, Buddy Holly. I look just like Buddy Holly. And you're Mary Tyler Moore. I don't care what they say about us anyway. I don't care about that. What is, that's a weird song. But that whole album was, that was produced by Rick Ocasek. The late, great Rick Ocasek from The Cars, oddly enough. But the second album, Pinkerton, which I feel is like their best album of all time, I think, is, I don't know who, like, offhand, I don't know who produced, it wasn't Rick Ocasek. I don't know who produced that one. And I'm not going to look it up. But, I mean, you know what I'm talking about, that Sweet Caroline thing. Like, initially, that's a great song. Look, I'm not crapping on it by any means. I believe it was written by Neil Diamond for Caroline Kennedy. And that's why they sing it at Fenway Park in Boston, where the Kennedy compound was, where they parked the car in Harvard Yard. And, but I never really knew, like, the annoying phenomenon that it kind of evolved into. Like, I remember being at my sister's wedding. My brother-in-law broke into this Sweet Caroline rendition for the entire wedding, and I'm like, what is this? What is this? Why is he singing that? And then everybody just kind of chimed in lockstep, and I'm like, this is a cult. But now I cannot fucking stand, like, I can't fucking stand that song. I can't fucking handle it. I think, and you got to think, like, the people at Fenway are just fucking burnt out on it. Burnt on it. But I digress. So how was your weekend, everybody? First, let's get to brass tacks here, first of all. NFL. Jesus H. Christ on a popsicle stick. What the fuck's going on? The later games on Sunday wasn't as stimulating, but I'll tell you this. Fucking early games, what the fuck? Patriots upend the Bills? So, our boy Josh Allen from Fireball, by way of University of Wyoming, behind the entire game, playing catch-up the entire game until the last couple minutes where they took the lead, 25-22, whilst converting a two-point play, two-point conversion. And then the Patriots marched down the field. What the fuck? And then, but prior, like last week, the fucking Raiders beat the Patriots. So, what? So by that math, the Raiders should be able to beat the Bills, but that is not the case. That is not the case because the poor Raiders, the lowly Raiders, the 3-3 Raiders that were on an uptick, who were on a 2-game win streak, beating the Packers, then the Patriots, before marching into Soldier Field, got beat by the lowly Bears. Like, beat handily, too. Like, beat like a drum. But that math, no, that math doesn't work. That doesn't mean that the Raiders shouldn't be capable of beating the Bills. But that's what the NFL stands for. Like Jerry Glanville used to say when he was coaching for the Falcons, not for long, bitch. The old ball coach came to the NFL for a short tenure, and then I think he left out the back door with his tail between his legs to go back to end up at South Carolina. What is he doing? I don't know. He was kind of a loudmouth, but he was right. Not for long. NFL. Yeah, fucking. And then the Lions just got upended. Just got gorilla fucked by the Ravens, which I figured it'd be a better game than what was offered to it. Was it 38-6 final score, something like that, or some horseshit? Like I was in my corner. I was thinking the Lions might be the team that dark horse for the season, right? Jared Goff, right in the ship, 5-1 going into Baltimore, 5-1. Now they are 5-2. Not for long. Jesus Christo. What are we to make of all this craziness? It's crazy. It's crazy, man. Nevertheless, I don't know. I was kicking around a lot of different intro scenarios. Like I was fixated on this, how odd it would be to dress all the time like an old time saloon bartender. I just had this, I don't know. And I write these notes down in my, I text them to myself, and I don't know what kind of thought process went into this one, but I just kept, I thought I had to ask myself, like, how unsettling would it be to dress like an old-time saloon bartender, you know, with like the white button-up shirt with a puffier sleeves, no collar, black vest, maybe a drawstring tie, black pants, sleeves rolled up, but dress that way all the time, like regardless, like going to the beach, going to work, you name it. How unsettling, how strange. But that idea never really took. I scratched it. I scratched that. And when I saw again that Jim Beam commercial where the whole bar is just singing Sweet Caroline, like, this is my intro. I fuck these people. Fuck these people. Fuck these paid actors. You know? But it's been a busy week. It's been a crazy week. It's been wild. I'm kind of dabbling in the championship series, the MLB championship series. Phillies Diamondbacks. And I think Phillies are up 3-2, although it was 2-2, but the Phillies stomped them pretty good Saturday night. So it's looking like a Philly series because I think they're going to go back to Philly now. They've been in Arizona. And then the Rangers. The Texas Rangers, Houston Astros series. Rangers up 2-0, dropped 3 in a row. In Arlington? Like, Jesus. So now they go back to Houston. It ain't looking pretty. So I guess we'll end up with like an Astros Phillies. I don't know. Whatever. You know, that's about the extent of my enthusiasm on that. But and then I kind of, I don't know. And this week's been fairly pedestrian, bordering on the slow side of things. Not a lot of donors, you know. So I end up kind of getting to places early or waiting or killing time at the donor centers. And I'm one particular at the Folsom Donor Center. They've got next door, they have a pole dancing class. It's exactly how it sounds, right? And so it would be easy to criticize or judge. Like, as I'm sitting there in my car waiting to go into the donor, excuse me, center, I see all these kind of wannabe skanks pulling up. And it would be, and that's a terrible thing to say, but because it'd be, like I say, it'd be easy to criticize or judge a lot of these girls that go into the pole dancing classes, but I'm gonna purposely take the contrarian stance just to see how refreshing a take I could have on it. Because it is thinly disguised as a workout fitness class, but I think they have couples nights sometimes. I mean, I'm not even making that up. I think there's couples nights, so like their chubby counterparts get to come in and watch them, like, put a kink in the pole, you know, or whatever they do. But God, that sounds so judgmental. And I'm trying not to be judgmental. But they all have tramp stamps. But again, it's like, take the opposite side of that. If you're on a debate team, take the opposite end of that, right? Much like I would say, like this skirmish with Israel and Hamas. Like, I am absolutely the last person to be commenting on anything to do with the Middle East. I do have a small stake in it that I got three girls that go to college, and colleges are kind of a hotbed for protests. And and particularly with these fundamental types that are involved in the skirmish, fundamentalist organizations, I consider both sides with blood on their hands, let's face it. So you've got this fundamentalist element that caters to the situation. So it would be, anyway, long story short, I basically put the word out, like, kind of give those protests a wide berth. I'm all about voicing your opinion, but when you're dealing with people that feel like they're backed by a religious cause, like, you're not going to win there. Those people think that when they die, life's going to get better. So you can't defend that. So just, it's a crazy time right now. I mean, it's weird, you know. There's a lot on the balance sheet. This entanglement with Russia. We got China now dealing, you know, with the president saying we're going to defend Taiwan. Like, my God, dude. Like, do you even know where you're at, bro? And now with Israel, Hamas, and supposedly, according to Fox News, which I don't regularly watch, but my mom and I go to this diner after we visit my pops in Grass Valley at the memory care facility. We go into this little diner, and it's a bunch of rednecks, so it's like Fox News is everywhere. And so they're saying Hezbollah is now involved. Like, fuck, man. Like, this is a world war. Like, are we starting is this going into a world war? Because Hamas is backed by Iran. So now Iran's kind of sticking their toe in the water. And now we got to deal with those assholes. And I don't mean the people. I mean the governments. It's always the governments. The people are fine. In my opinion, the people, we always want to get along. You know, believe what you want, you know, worship who you want to worship, believe in what you want to believe. But the governments are fucking, they're the fucking psychopaths that are portraying the West as the evil, and then the West, those idiots in government, are portraying the axis of evil as if they were, you know, these people are just out of their minds. But it's the governments. So keep that in mind. It's the governments, not the people. It's the governments, right? But it makes me think, right, that I'm going in, because I'm still waiting to hear back from Vitalant for my interview. It'll be 2 weeks Wednesday. Is that right? Or longer? Fuck if I know. But nothing, no word, no email, no hi, bye, fuck you, nothing. Yes, no, upside down, nothing. But it would be interesting to work, well, of course, now working in a lab, going to work in a lab, whether it happens or not, working in a blood lab that feeds hospitals in a time of war would be an interesting dilemma. But again, I still haven't heard, I've this weekend decided to just take a, I'm kind of, like I saw this, what did I, was it an article or a meme or something about, I don't know, it was Ben Affleck, and he had a shirt on that says, raw dog in life. And so I think, so I ran out of weed, which is fine, on Friday or Saturday. And I thought, fuck it, I'm just going to dry out. I'm going to get it out of my system, take a little tolerance break. I remember my son called me five, 6 months ago. Hey, you know what a tolerance break is? Yeah, bro, I invented that tolerance break. He's learning all kinds of new shit about tolerance breaks. But more importantly is like when I went to work for Roseville Toyota, seven, almost 8 years ago now. You just filter it out of your system. Just get rid of it, you know, just fast a little, because the THC is stored in your fat cells. So I've been kind of trying to work it out of the system. Just go raw dog, man. Like no nothing. Like no nothing. Like no booze, no weed, no garbage, no carbs, no sugar. I mean, it's easier said than done, man. I eat ibuprofen like it's Cookie Crisp, you know. And but the idea would be to actually not have to take if I did take a drug test, I could just walk in and piss, right? Although unless it's a written test, right? Yeah. But you know, I'm a 50-year-old guy, like, and the notion that you might take a few puffs off of a dube during the week if you work for some corporate entity and it stays in your system, how is it that it's legal here in California? Wherever you're at, if it's not legal where you're at, I'm sorry, but here in California it's legal, so why is that any different than drinking? If you're, you know, they'll hire alcoholics, you know, because there's no alcohol in their system when they're drug testing. But anyway, I digress. The point is, it would be fascinating to work in a blood lab during a time of war, which sounds really ominous, like we're really going into war. But it's kind of getting nasty. It's like, don't sleep on that. I might sound like a paranoid, but there's some gnarly skirmishes. This Israel Hamas thing isn't going away anytime soon. Trust me on that one. So it just behooves you to kind of be leery. Now you're going to get, okay, so now we're at a point and we're at a juncture in our social media or our society now, where you're going to start seeing all the quote unquote Middle East experts coming out of the woodwork on their podcasts, on their Talking Head, news shows. But last I saw, like, CNN's got like 42,000 people watching it. 42,000? That's embarrassing. Like a middle of the road podcast has better numbers than that. Am I right or am I wrong? Or am I right or am I wrong? I don't know. But, and I don't know what Fox News is doing, but it's not much better. The future is kind of in, like, the way RFK has gone the podcast circuit. That is to today's pulpit what television, the new media of television, was to Kennedy and Nixon in 1960. That was the first introduction to a televised debate, and now we got podcasts. But who's going to go on a first of all, Trump's too busy being arraigned for whatever they can trump up. Ba-dum-bum. And Biden doesn't even know where he's at. That dude, you bring him into a podcast studio, he's going to start talking to the wall or something. I don't know. But you got RFK, man. Speaking of Kennedys, this motherfucker. You know when, like, back in the day when it used to be like, oh, this guy's a full-on conspiracy theorist if he starts talking about something. I think there's less of that now. I think because RFK would be the conspiracy candidate, but he is not. I don't feel he is. And there's a lot of great thinkers out there that are behind him, like the dude that used to run Twitter. Drawing a blank on his name right now. But Sam Harris and... You know, the thinkers of our times are publicly backing RFK, and it's not a subject that needs to be handled with kid gloves. It's just like particularly now that he's an independent candidate. Jack Dorsey, that's his name, Jack Dorsey. Who used to be the head of Twitter, publicly stated that he's backing RFK. And somebody I really like that I'm getting to them, that I'm helping, it's helping me kind of, not obsessively follow the skirmish in the Middle East, but somebody that puts a really good spin on it is Dave Smith with his podcast, Part of the Problem, which is a libertarian podcast, but it's not solely for libertarians. It's just he's a libertarian. He brandishes libertarian viewpoints. I don't like to get overly political, so I like to see, like I do with the NFL, I like to see a good matchup. I like to see a good game, and to the victor go the spoils if you win. People really, the traditional media model of CNN, Fox, MSNBC, and those honks are drying up, and they're old-fashioned like your grandparents, right? So, but they will vilify any third-party candidate, naturally. So, because it's not traditional, it's upsets the balance of order of the way that they are kind of forced to craft things based on the fact that they're kind of captured by big pharma and other corporate entities to toe their line of reasoning. But they ultimately characterize, and in my opinion, I think it's a general opinion, that RFK is this anti-vaxxer, but the thing that I gathered from, was it Dave Smith's podcast? Or, oh, no, it was fucking Rogan, of course, when he had, he was talking to Coleman Hughes, who's a really good thinker as well in the realm of journalism, and just really made the valid point and why this isn't more obvious, I don't know, but the guy just wants, he characterized RFK as with facts. And the fact is, RFK is vaccinated. His kids are all vaccinated. He's not anti-vax. He's anti the thimerosal, the enzyme in the vaccine. So it's not the vaccine itself. It's taking A out of B, right? He's not anti-B. He's anti-A. Because we all need B. He just wants A out of B. A being the thimerosal, right? Which leads to autism, or according to his studies. And I can't substantiate. I can't talk down to him. I can't say one way or the other. I mean, this guy's done the legwork. And he's legit. He's got a good foundation as an environmental lawyer in the notion that he does the legwork. He does the he cleaned up the Hudson River. This is a river that you used to be able to light on fire because of all the corporate entities that were just polluting this river, and he got it cleaned up. Why is that bad? Why is he bad? I mean, not all of his ideas are sound, but do you buy every one of Trump's ideas? Do you buy every one of Biden's ideas? They're not all, you know, you're not going to go across the board with anybody. But I just think it's a discredit to public consciousness that they just take the easy route and just label him an anti-vaxxer. And that's my say. That's it. And then I retreat. And then I hide out. And then I go home, and I turn on Amazon to see how I can get in the spirit of Halloween while I'm waiting for my lovely woman to get off work so that we can enjoy our evening. And like the other night, she's been getting home a little later because she's been doing some extra work. But so I'm scrolling, we're trying to get into the Halloween spirit, and this is going to be very last minute. I mean, we're waiting until the last weekend, you know? And the idea, of course, is to avoid, well, personally speaking, the idea is to avoid, just the catch-all, run-of-the-mill, ubiquitous haunted houses. That's me. That's not my lady. She'd rather go to, she had tickets. She couldn't go because she got home late from work and was tired. But we were going to go to one of those Sacramento Scream shows. And there's haunted houses here and there. And it's all the same. It's kind of like these, you know, unsettling and strange and bizarre live interactive haunted houses, you know, with like, most of them have clowns. There's a lot of clowns in them. But while I was waiting for her to get done with work, I was scrolling through, just looking for, like, queuing up some movies maybe we could watch to get us in the spirit, right? You know, like Lost Boys or whatever. I mean, Nightmare Before Christmas is fucking, like, I know, I love that movie, but, man, it's like Sweet Caroline, man. It's, like, fucking been done. It's over. It's over, Johnny. Like, if I have to watch it again, I'll hate it. And I don't want to hate it. So what did I do? So I go looking for other movies. And what did I find? Oh, boy, did I find some humdingers. Let's see. The first one, I think, is quite possibly the greatest of all. And it's called Llamageddon. Llamageddon. Like Armageddon, but with a llama. Summary is, killer llama from outer space crash lands and wreaks havoc on college partiers. Like, you had me at llama. You had me at killer llama, right? I'm there. Like, I'm going to TiVo the fuck out of that movie. And then, but as I kept going, like, how, okay, because, like, Amazon can get real, like, chintzy. Like, there's some movies, like, there are movies that I cannot believe, like, a studio backed this, or that somebody financed these, or that they got made, or, like, that there were people in this movie that go, like, this was a good idea, or how much am I getting paid? Please pay me, or I hope I'm getting paid for this, because that's what... Because the other movie, I found three great ones. Okay, so first one was Llamageddon. Just the schlockiest of schlock. And then the second one is called Santa Jaws. Just like it sounds, Santa Jaws. A comic book creation comes to life and wreaks havoc on college partiers. Santa Jaws. So it's like a festive, like... Christmassy Jaws. It's kind of horror, suspense, thriller, but with a little holiday twist. I don't know. He's wearing like a Santa hat. Maybe he got a part-time job in December at the mall. He's just your regular land shark. Just here for the holidays. Home for the holidays. You know, he's singing a little bit of Kenny Loggins to himself or something. A little Bing Crosby. Home for the holidays. Boo, 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 boo. But finally, the one that I think it kind of encompasses all of it is Sharks of the Corn. Yeah, these are real movies, Sharks of the Corn, with the subheading, They're Going to Stalk You. Like, that's fucking good. Like, that's fucking brilliant. Like, that's really a good, that's fucking great. Like, that's really good. I didn't even read the summary. Don't want to know. I don't want to know what it's about. Those are great. Like, that's fucking great. Llamageddon, Santa Jaws, and Sharks of the Corn. So you can see where, you know, you can see where this is. You can see kind of like the pattern here. Like, animals go awry and then become holiday terrors. Or, I don't know. Fuck. But, man. Yeah, so it's been crazy. It's just been real busy trying to raw dog life here and just deal with what comes our way. We got a cat. My lady has a cat. Well, her son has a cat. She's part of the family, but this cat is on a diet, right? And this motherfucker, this fat little fuck, he's like, or she rather, sorry. When you open the door, it's the fucking cat just sitting there looking at you, just like holding up like a fucking like cardboard sign, like, we'll suck your cock for food, right? Or, you know, kind of rubbing its nose like Dave Chappelle, like, hey man, hey, you got any more of that Meow Mix? Like, just shit like that. Like, we got to deal with that shit on a daily basis too. Like, it's fucking posting up at the food dish, right? The empty food dish. Just doing what it can, you know? So, but I think we established the, here's how we're going to kind of, quench the thirst for holiday merriment, particularly for Halloween, is there's a street that is part on the outskirts of Roseville called Dyer Lane, and it's notorious. It's on YouTube. You can look it up. Dyer Lane, D-Y-E-R Lane. It's haunted, supposedly, and it's a real rural, remote road. Kind of backs into nothing. It's kind of, it's like I said, it's on the outskirts of town. And then it backs into like an empty void of nothingness that starts kind of where like when Bill Burr made the comment at Thunder Valley Casino in Lincoln that you can just look out from the top of your hotel room and just see vast, like, manifest destiny, nothingness, emptiness fields where you could just kind of wander off and start a new life in the West. Like, that's what this street backs into, nothing. And so, consequently, it's kind of a haven for hooligans and weirdos and, you know, homicidal clowns. And it's supposedly haunted. And there's like a phantom vintage police car, like a 1940s police car that people see sometimes. Sometimes they see somebody walking down the road holding his head, like with a head wound, like Head Wound Harry. You know, because like, I guess years ago, somebody had crashed into a tree and had a bunch of head trauma. And now he walks this empty road, this entry empty country rural road. And but other than that, it's really just kind of a haven for like misfits and ravers and weirdos and suicidal, homicidal clowns. And they spray paint stuff on the road like, you know, it's time to die, stuff like that. So we're going to go check it out tonight. That's the idea. We're going to give it a... Gonna go give it a go. Supposedly, if you stop and if you turn your car engine off and you roll your windows down, you can hear chanting. So that's what we're gonna like. That's legit. Like that's real. Like that's the real shit right there. Not this kind of contrived haunted house of mirrors and mirror fun and fun house of mirrors and weirdo. You know. I mean, that's all fine and good, but that's, like, hacky. Like, this is the legit shit. Like, we might get shanked. I don't know. But I'm ready. It's all good. Yeah. There's just been so much going on. So much to get to. I don't know. I've been listening to it a lot. Again, like... A lot of this stuff coming from these talking heads and these podcasters and these, I listened to a really good interview. I mean, stepping aside from the holidays and the world at war, I did listen to a really good podcast with Chris Williamson. He was talking to Dr. Robert Sapolsky of Stanford, the neuroscientist, who just came out with a new book that says that free will doesn't exist. And I'm like, damn, bro, that's a bold... It's a bold statement there, but it's all about determinism. Like we're all kind of determined. It's like, for example, like demographic determinism. Say for example, like it's kind of determined where, like, if you're born in Gaza, you're fucked. You think you got free will out there? No. If you're born in like in a situation in the Central Valley, in a small town that you can't get out of, you're determined. That's, I'm assuming that's kind of part of his message. The first part of the interview talked more about genetics and how they relate to anxiety and stress and how that's all transferred to you in the womb. Like it's a genetic predisposition based on your exposure to stress in the womb. So that in turn kind of creates the deterministic situation you will ultimately have to deal with. In your life. So it's a brutal take, and I'm not doing it enough justice. It's like I can't really compartmentalize and give you the gist of it in just a couple of minutes here. I mean, you're talking about the theory of a neuroscientist. So to sum it all up in a couple of tidy little sentences isn't gonna do it justice. But that's, you know, it's a solid argument. I mean, the determinism is like if you're born in the Ukraine, you're born in Taiwan, you're born in Gaza, the West Bank, fuck, man. Like it's hard. It is hard, and it's a crazy world, man. It's hard to really make sense of a lot of it. So I won't. So I can't, because I don't have, it's not in, it's, I don't have the authority to do that. So I just retreat to my bad movies and, try and keep my nose clean and just be thankful that, I'm here in the most hated state in the most hated country in the world. And we got our fingers in a lot of people's business right now, and it's going to get weird. So I'm going to leave it at that. I hope you guys have a great week, and I will talk at you later. Arrivederci, babies.